Hey there, welcome to The League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. I'm Shanaz, I'm here with my mate Brooksy. We are living a post-COVID, current COVID
post.
Kind of life.
We're in it.
We're in it.
It's still going.
We're not Melbourne, but we're in it. Anyway, Brooksy, how you going, my man?
I'm good. How good's the weather, Shanaz? We say this every week, but I think it's better than the last time we said how good was the weather. I'm fantastic. You know, enjoying spring, enjoying all this sport that's on at the moment too. Like, it's brilliant. How good is it?
It's great. I'm not a spring lover. I'm sneezing like a mofo and I've got itchy eyes and an itchy throat and I'm not real happy about it. So you can take your spring and shove it where the sun don't shine. But anyway, Brooksy.
Before we go into any sport, what's your choice of antihistamine this time of year? Because we are looking for a sponsor, and I guess the next few months, antihistamines are probably, you know, the thing at the chemist.
It's funny you say that, very topical. So all my life...
You're a Claritin guy?
Which is a long life now. I've been a Polaramine kind of guy. Polaramine, very strong, historically speaking. But in the last few years... they've weakened the product. So it used to sort of... it would put you to sleep as well as cure you pretty much for the day.
Put you to sleep.
No mechanical lifting or anything like that. You had to take it and then go to sleep. Now, you take it every 6 hours and it's okay. It's an okay product. If they want to sponsor us, please do. I'm trying a strong version of Telfast. Far, it's okay. It's doing a job, not the job. But I'll be pretty happy when this season is over.
Are you a tablet or a nasal spray sort of human?
Prefer a tablet, but I'm not averse to a nasal spray, but prefer a tablet.
Oh no, I think I'd be I haven't had that many in my life, but I think Zyrtec, I think it's got a good package.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Touchdown.
What have you been up to, mate? What else has been happening other than the antihistamine situation?
I've been living the league life pretty much.
Yep.
Which is what we do around here. Bit of work and not much else actually this week, but let's talk about...
Wrapping it up. Round 20, we're here, Shanaz. Remember when we were two rounds deep, we were all at home, we didn't know what was going on. I don't know. We were starting home gyms. You're doing writing songs. We didn't know what the future was going to hold, but we're here. The last round of round 20, 2020.
I've got a good hunch and a good suspicion and a good rumor that Peter Volandi's got the NRL back on track to stop you and I from podcasting every 6 hours. Because that's what we were doing.
Yeah. We did the if you see the graph, it sort of went with League Life podcasts and cases in New South Wales were quite similar. But yeah, it's great that we're here.
It's a miracle.
It looks like we've got the top eight locked in. We've got a few round one, finals week one matchups somewhat locked in.
Mm.
But what did you like about round 19? What was your favourite moments?
When Sean Johnson and Royce Hunt lost their ability to walk, that was my favourite moment of the weekend.
Mate.
No, hang on. I'm trying to be
positive to start. We can get into the injuries
later.
Well,
you know what? Now that you mention that, you know.
It's at the front of your mind. Let's get it out of the way.
On the name of this podcast, it says... Shanaz and Brooks. Shanaz comes on. Oh, no, you come first on the podcast. Okay. My favorite moment of the round, of the year, of this lifetime, was Craig Bellamy giving Cameron Smith the bird. That was it. You know I love the man. I love Craig Bellamy. You love him too. We love him at the League Life. And for me, that was everything. It was like that moment you were waiting for in life where – you wanted to tell everyone, I knew that this is what this man was capable of. This is the length of his humor and genius. And forget about the title wins. Forget about the great record of winning. He's a funny human being. That was amazing. Brilliant.
Like, it's funny when you see the Storm score a try and they'll cut to Bellamy. There's something wrong. There's always something wrong. Even though they get 4 to 6 points, He's blowing up. You're seeing the FMEs. You're seeing all this stuff. Rolls is copping it.
The player.
Poor Jace.
The player put the ball down wrong.
Yeah, exactly. We're bringing in closer, you F-wit. Or like, you can see that there's always some sort of blow-up. But as soon as like Cam Smith scored, like it wasn't at the front of my mind that he had broken Bellamy's record. I remember people saying it throughout the season, like they were tired. And then as soon as like I think Woz mentioned it in commentary, and then the huddle, and everyone's there, and then they start turning around, and I'm like, oh, here we go, what's going on? They cut to the Storm box. He gives the finger. They had to pan, like the camera had to sort of pan out a little bit. It's a big finger, Schnaz. It was just like one of those big foam fingers you'd get at the ice hockey or the baseball.
The arm was up and down too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he was giving good right angles. Just making sure he cleared the people in the grandstand so Cam could see. But isn't that a great relationship those two have? Like,
yeah.
They've been together for so long. What's it? Their 17th season or something, or 16th season or something crazy like that.
One of the most successful / best coach-player relationships. And the mark of the man that he even apologized for it in the press conference. I thought that was really sweet as well.
If anyone was offended, I'm sorry. but it wasn't the only, this is the thing, Schnaz, like moving on to like other, did you see the Sunday game? Ricky Stewart blowing up and throwing his Mount Franklin bottle out the window. He just like pegged it out this little gap in the coach's box. And then I remember like he was on the sideline later in the second half and Vossi was like, yeah, I think he's trying to find his water bottle.
Well, we've seen him kick over Gatorade, buckets and that kind of stuff. So he's a pretty passionate dude, Ricky Stewart.
Yeah, he wasn't a happy man, even though they won by 12. The White and Sinbin, just the general blow-ups.
They didn't play that fantastic. They did well to come back, but they're still on the level meter. You've still got Panthers, Roosters, and Storm above anyone else. Like, they're clearly above everyone else.
It's going to be hard for them to, if they don't finish in the top four, Schnaz, cracking through and winning the three games to get the premiership. But it's probably good to have these issues. They had a similar sort of game last year, remember, in round 25 against the Warriors, where they went down the week before the finals, but went on a mini roll to get to the GF. Who knows? Who knows what Ricky's got? They do have a lot of injuries. Speaking of injuries, let's just get it out of the way, mate. You Sharkies, you're in the finals. It's great. It's a great time, congratulations.
Thank you.
It was carnage at the SCG on Saturday night. Tell us your thoughts as a Sharks fan of the game and the future for the Sharks heading into finals.
Future not looking too good. They'll have to throw in some young fellas. And even, I think, for the first half of next year, there's a bit of an issue there because it looks like Sean Johnson and Royce Hunt will be out for a long time and kind of definitely into next season. So how they come back, I'm not sure in what shape, but hopefully they're back better than ever. But as a fan, I got to say on the socials and people, just communicating with me and me with them, there was a strong feeling of pride by Sharks fans in that performance. And I got to tell you, I didn't share that. I thought the first half was really, really poor. And the fact that they hung in there was cool, and the fact that they played under duress in the second half, I get that there was some pride there, but the first half was terrible, man, and they were lucky they weren't losing by a lot more, and they're a team that is in eighth place, and there's a reason why. There's a lot of issues with that team. For all the pros, which is young players being debuted and some good attacking football, there's a lot of cons in there as well. So they're a work in progress, and I'm hoping by 2022 they'll be a bit more of a force, but finals next year, not sure.
Do you think there'll be a Graham Townsend halves combo week one finals? Do you reckon they'll need, like, they'll probably go for Wade at 5'8", solidify the middle, and just try and grind out wins, like 14-12s, 12-10s, yep. 2016.
I think it's worth the gamble, yeah, because rather than throwing in just young guys like Trindle, who can do a job, but they're still so young and inexperienced, I don't mind the idea of trying to grind it out. And we'll know at 4 o'clock, obviously, what they're doing. But either Wade Graham at 6 or Wade Graham at 13, I'm a fan of. I think he needs to get closer to the middle. So Talakai is doing a good job on the left in the second row. I'd keep him there. It's a bit deflating as a fan. Obviously, it's out of everyone's hands, the injuries. But we're going to the finals, and you never know what can happen on the day. But we'll, I think they're definitely in a rebuild period now. Whether by choice or not, they're in a rebuild sort of stage. Yeah.
Well, speaking of rebuilds, I don't think you're alone there, mate. The Dragons, another stinky performance. We got thumped by the Knights.
Yeah.
30-6 at halftime.
Yeah.
It could have really been anything that game. I think the scores were pretty even in that second half. I think it was 2 tries apiece. But yeah, like, it's a tough one. Dean Young came out and said some things, like it was like a park footy effort. The Dapto Canaries would have beaten them today. It wasn't good.
They've checked out, right?
Presser, yeah. But this is a thing, Schnoz. Like, you're seeing these guys that are on really good money checking out.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that says a lot about the type of veterans and leaders you want in a club. Like Cameron McInnes, I can talk about him all day about how good he is as a leader and stuff. He fights. Frizz is sort of getting to that checked out stage. I think he just saw the future this week, which is great for him.
Yeah.
Adding him to that night squad will be great. They'll be formidable in 2021 again. Yeah. Like, for instance, Tristan Saylor's not getting a run for mine is just crazy. You look at what Corey Norman has provided, Ben Hunt has provided. I don't want to think about how much money they're combined on and what they've provided.
It's about 1 point.
Consistently.
1.9 a year.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's going to be 20% of your salary cap or just under that.
Yeah.
It's time to give the young guys a go. I think Anthony Griffin's going to bring in that sort of, you know, blood a lot of juniors, use the junior base. We've got a widespread junior base from St. George down the South Coast. It needs to be utilised going forward. And we've got to stop signing these big contracts for players that, I don't know, that just seem to be unproven on the big stage.
Yeah,
and I think that's where we're at now. We've signed a lot of players. We've tried to keep that 2018 team together somewhat that were fairly successful, overachievers really.
Mm.
And then it just hasn't panned out. They've all dropped off. There's been injuries. There's just been off field issues, as we know. So yeah, I think clean rebuild of St. George Illawarra is needed going forward, mate.
My inbox was going crazy regarding, and this is how passionate the fans are of the team that I support. We were back and forthing with a whole bunch of people about, do you re-sign Sean, who's off contract at the end of next year, I believe? Like, what's that going to look like? Because we don't know what shape he's going to be back in. There's all sorts of reports about how long it takes to get back to your natural best. He's going to be, if he's not 30, he's going to be 30. So he's going to be commanding a lot of money no matter what sort of deal it is. Is that worth the risk? And my point, I guess, is in this day and age, even with COVID, with salary cap probably, or, you know, with money in clubs not that great off at the moment due to the world pandemic, the signing of players is honestly going to be the success of your clubs. If you get it wrong, and you know, lots of, like, both of our clubs have got it wrong in the last few years with a whole bunch of players. If you get it wrong, it's going to royally screw you.
I think the Sharkies, if they look after him, And I think that they will make sure he gets through his recovery, look after him, make sure they're there as humans as well, not just like you're a commodity, you're a rugby league commodity.
Yeah.
We can sign someone else. And you actively go out in the market and start looking. I think, like, if you don't do that and you look after Sean and you could get him on a really good deal. I think I heard a comparison that it's like a sort of Benji scenario. Like, what do you do? Like, do you keep coming in and bringing him back 1 year? I think you got to learn from that too. I don't think the Benji situation has played out too well at the Tigers, having left, come back. Then there's all this like, we shouldn't bring him back. Then when he's dropped, there's like petitions to bring him back. Like, it was just an absolute mess. And I think if the Sharkies are open, honest, and caring of Sean, they can get him on good money. They can look after his the back end of his career. Who knows? Like Justin Hodges did to Achilles, and he was pretty good still at the back end of his career. Like I think he was just overplaying at that stage in 2015, having gone through the big injuries. But like he was all right. I think Sean, as you saw this year, like Sean can really. Really play some really good footy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think if his rehab is successful, then I'm happy to definitely go again. I'd probably just have to limit the years in the contract.
Yeah,
and maybe the money a little bit. But he, to be fair to him, he's in career best form.
Yeah, he's just turned 30. So yeah, like he's coming back. He's going to be nearly 31. Great maths there. but. Yeah, that's what I reckon. He's probably got, you've probably got two, maybe three seasons left, depending on how his injuries, what injuries he does get going forward. I definitely think you'd want to have him there back end of 21 and 22 at least.
And I think that'll mean letting go of a bunch of other guys, you know, and you can put in that bracket, Moylan, Dugan.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when Woodsy's off contract, but these big contract guys, you'd probably let them go and make Sean your big contract guy and that's it. And then everyone else is kind of under him and we move on. Anyway, enough about the Sharks because, this is a Sharks podcast. what else from the NRL, Brooksy, is grabbing your attention?
Panthers. Oh, 14 straight. Woo! So comprehensive against the Cows. 32-12. Just... they're a fun team. They're a great team to watch. They love celebrating tries. They score some cracking tries. They just got talent all over the park. And that's you know, young guys, veterans. Didn't have Tamo or Coruscant. Nailed it.
They're in the groove, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to stop.
Yeah, the halves are Luai and Cleary. Edwards playing well at fullback. I like when he chimes in. Their wingers are obviously solid. I could go through every position and just be like, love it, love it, love it, love it. Ticking all the boxes.
There's no real weakness in that team. Yeah. I think that, you know, you see a guy like Dylan Edwards, if you pepper him with bombs, he's going to drop probably two a game and you might get a try out of it. But you know what I mean? Like, that's really scratching at something that's not really there.
Yeah.
I think that on your day to beat them, you're going to have to be as good as them as far as completions go and kicking and all that sort of stuff, and then you're in with a chance. But if you complete it less than 80%, you're no chance. If you don't force dropouts, you're no chance. Like, you've got to control that game the way that they control it. So someone, it's a job for someone to do, whether it's the Storm or the Roosters, we'll see. But
yeah, so it's an interesting situation. They've got the Bulldogs this week. I believe they're going to be resting some players.
Yeah.
So let's say that they go 15 straight. They're heading into the finals with a massive win streak. Potentially got Para or Canberra. Para was the last team to beat them, although they did clean them up a few weeks ago. Canberra's got that you're in for the grind mentality.
Yeah.
Particularly if they get into fourth. Could be a tough start for the Panthers. It'd be a shame seeing them drop week one of the finals and then being an elimination against, who knows, the Sharkies or the Knights or Bunnies or
I don't necessarily see them losing week one. I think that it'll be at Penrith and they'll be in that groove and there'll probably be as many people in there as legally possible and in the crowd. And I think that Canberra will definitely push them. the Eels at the moment, you would say not so much, even though the last game was closer than the scoreline would let you think. I think Canberra has that in-your-face mentality to kind of go for an upset. But even then, I think that they'll win week one, and then it'll be up to them to sort of handle the prelim nerves. So,
yeah. Well, a team that we thought was sort of making a good run and they could shake up a few things in the eight was the Bunnies.
No.
They started round 19 with an atrocious performance against the Dogs.
Yeah.
Lost 26-16. What did you think of that performance, Schnaz? And
Wayne Bennett kind of said mentally they weren't there. But I just thought that you're right, Boxy.
I heard the little whoop of your
I got a hay fever. Water. I got a hay fever tickle in my throat. All right, come on, man.
No, I'm sorry. I should.
Till we get that heavy sponsorship, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, what? It's cool. It was good. I liked it.
I think Wayne Bennett blamed it on them not turning up mentally, but there's probably more to it than that. I think.
Not the best time of season to not turn up mentally,
yeah.
Particularly against a team that's on the bottom of the ladder. Like yeah. That, you don't want to lose that game. I think no. You go in, there's a bit of mentality, there's a bit of focus to go, hey guys, we probably don't want to drop this game, first game of the round, we've got to come in, get the win.
One of those ones where it's like, you lost to Canterbury, you can't win the comp. And when I say that, I'm not disrespecting Canterbury because they've been fighting hard all year and they were actually pretty entertaining on the weekend, but
yeah.
They're coming second last. If you lose to the team coming second last 2 weeks out from the finals, I think there's a bit of an issue.
Oh, for sure. And I thought that they were sort of coming home. Well, they, you know, Bennett Wayne had them on the right path.
They got the Chookies this week.
Yeah.
And they're not going to throw the game. But no, the Chookies will be competing. So...
They don't want to drop down to fourth. Actually, the Chooks beat Penrith would be interesting. I'm sure the Panthers don't want them to lose either. But
well, I guess I'm saying that the coach might have his preference of who to play, but they're not going to throw the game. They're not that kind of team. So Souths, yeah, TBC. But I mean, it's looking like they'll play Newcastle week one, maybe. So that's a winnable game. But after that, not sure.
Well, the Bulldogs, Schnaz, got off the bottom of the ladder, which meant that the Broncos go to the bottom. Oh. That's crazy. Crazy to think. What, like, where to? Where to for the Bronx now, mate?
The only way is up, baby.
Yeah, I guess
well,
so.
Well, maybe not, but they need a coach. They need probably a CEO. They need...
Both TBC at the moment.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what the problem is there. I feel like it's from the office down, you know.
Yeah, we've talked like everyone has talked about what the problem is, or what is like, or not knowing what that problem is for the last 4 or 5 months, and it's time for them to sort of go. Well, let's wrap it up and let's sort out the future because it. You don't want this dragging on into the preseason, particularly who knows what the preseason's going to look like.
Yeah.
Mate, like there might be, is there any Origin players in that Broncos side? You've probably got Katoni Staggs for New South Wales.
Oh, boy.
Fifita and Haas are likely.
There'd be a few,
Haas
yeah.
would probably be in the New South Wales squad too. That's crazy. their Origin players are going to be quite New South Welshmen. That's crazy to think about. Remember when there was Chris Johns and Michael Devere?
I remember.
Lazo might have played Origin, like, and then now their team is two guys for New South Wales of their Origin representatives. It's well, crazy, but
when you come last, that's what happens, Brooksy.
Yeah, maybe they got too many New South Welshmen in the team. Who knows? But yeah, lots of change for 2021. First spoon if they lose this weekend. So we'll wait and see. But the best Queensland, we've talked about the Cowboys lost to the Panthers, the Broncos lost to the Eels.
Mate, our Titans.
The Queensland team. The
our
team,
boys.
The best Queensland team, the Gold Coast Titans. 42-24 at Brookie.
The league life has backed the Titans since day one of this podcast. That's a fact. Go listen to the old episodes.
We have. A lot of players have come and gone.
They have.
Coaches have come and gone too in that time. owners.
Yeah.
Ownership groups. But, yeah, that probably the best. I reckon the Titans' best game of the season.
Yeah.
Maybe the Titans' best game in the past 2 to 3 years. And they're starting to – there's a guy on that team, Schnaz, that is turning into a superstar before our very eyes.
Can I guess who it is?
Yes, you can. And it's not Bryce Cartwright.
No. Cartwright, left the club. 5, 10 minutes.
Cartwright gone.
I'm going to say you're thinking AJ Brimson, but I'm thinking
– Alexander.
I'm thinking the halfback.
Well, yeah, he's been very good, Jamal Fogarty.
Fogarty. Fogarty or Fogarty?
Fogarty. Fogarty.
Who's going to stop the Fogarty?
Great, like, most improved player of the year, if there was an award, right?
Yeah.
Like, so his story, Schnaz, is that the Titans had a trial game against the Burley Bears. The Burley Bears won the game off the back of Fogarty's domination. Justin Holbrook put him in his black book. He debuted for the Titans, I think, back in 2017. Played one game at the end of that season. We might have even mentioned him in the podcast that year as having his debut this week. But, yeah,
he's captain.
He's been amazing. But I'm going to go on to AJ Brimson.
Please, I love him. Please.
I was thinking when I was talking to Aaron, who was doing the studio pre-game for that match, and I was like, this is an interesting matchup because I think AJ's playing really well. Like, the Titans have started playing well since he's come back into the side. Tommy's a bit banged up, like coming back from his injury. I wouldn't be surprised to see if AJ win that battle on the weekend, and he won it hands down. Like, he was that good. Yeah. Albeit Tommy coming back from what, 12 weeks off.
Can I ask you a question, Brooksy? Because the answer I got, I was not happy with. I was asking people, why would you bring back Tommy for the last two games? And the answer I got was
all of the above.
State of origin. And I went, what? That's not a reason to come back. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I was thinking about it on the weekend too. In hindsight, he was probably better to not play the games and just keep training. I know Origin is a different beast and you need to be prepared for it. And that's what sort of the season...
He would have played two games and then had 5 weeks off anyway.
At least, yeah. Exactly.
Bad move by whoever made that happen. Bad move.
But, yeah, he's paid by Manly, though, Schnaz. So if he's available to play, he should be playing.
He didn't look like he was available.
He's only getting, what, he's only going to get 90 grand from New South Wales. I know there is the aura and the prestige of playing Origin, but he needed to play a couple of games at the back end of the year if he was fit. He was fit?
No, I don't think so. I think you wait till next year. You're done. The year's over. Why would you do that? Because he's so injury prone. I'd put him in cotton wool.
Yeah, I guess there is definitely a case.
That's hindsight, but that is also what I would have done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it didn't work out too well for the Seagulls.
Smash. You know,
big loss. Looks like Anfernu Blake's going to the Warriors.
Speaking of the jerk store called. Wow.
He's still got 2 years left on his deal, which is weird, and he has asked to leave. I don't know if it's – I think it might be personal reasons. I'm not too sure, but Gus has sounded him out, and the honourable man that he is, he's grabbing a guy that's got 2 years left on his contract to start the new Warriors era.
Look, if anyone can sort this jerk out, that is Buddy Garrity of the NRL. Did you see his farewell video to Manly? He was smoking a pipe or something.
Was he really?
Yeah, on Instagram. Yeah,
just a big stogie, was he? Oh, I didn't see that one.
I think it was more of a different sort of pipe. Yeah,
the old devil's lettuce.
Mm.
Yeah, right. So he's probably played his last game. Hopefully, there's no random drug testing.
I think
he's playing round 20.
I think so.
But yeah. Yeah, Manly, yes. They they're going to have an interesting roster come next year, Schnaz, with a banged up Tommy. Jaku gives everything for the club.
They haven't got the depth, Brooksy. Sorry.
No. They've got zero depth.
Yeah.
I think once you break that 21, it's very minimal. We saw Johnny Schuster's nephew come in and play well. Benji reckoned it was the best debut he's seen. But it might have been deflecting from the, is this your last season at the Tigers questions in the post-match. But Tevita Funa, they've got some young guys, Alvin Obawadi. They're going to be a young team next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully some of those guys would have been banged up this year are fully fit.
Absolutely.
2021.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it hasn't been good, mate. But yeah, the Titans, good on them. Ninth position.
Yeah.
Something the Tigers won't finish this year. The Tigers, we mentioned the Bellamy Smith thing. They got rolled. I think it was funny, Schnaz, you know, we're talking about that Adokar Nofaluma tweet that I did. Mm. I think the Storm probably don't want to do that trade now after how Adokar performed and scored a couple of tries on the league-leading try scorer Nofaluma.
Yeah, I wouldn't be letting him go. I think he's an incredible talent. So I think he wants to leave, but
he wants to go to Sydney. He wants to come back to Sydney for family reasons and stuff, and that's fair enough, but you never know. Who knows? The Storm might be based in Sydney next year. You might get one more year out of him. Although, from what I've heard from people that work at the Storm and people on the sunny coast, the Storm are loving it up there.
Oh yeah,
like it's golf, it's
cafes,
it's the vibe, it's Marbo, it's everything. Like they're loving it so much. And who knows? They could probably. They might be requesting 3 or 4 home games up there in future seasons.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Very interesting. Watch this space. I wouldn't have a problem with them doing that. I think the Melbourne fans would be a bit hard done by because they're so well supported in Melbourne. But
imagine you've been down in Melbourne for however many years you've been down there. You've got the opportunity to live it up on the sunny coast. You know, mango smoothies, prawn and strawberry salads. You just be living the life.
What's our friend Bellamy doing at a cafe? What's he ordering?
Bellamy? I could see him like something like where he alters the menu. No. I think he's like I'll have the Mexican salad, but just don't give me the sriracha sauce or something like, you know, just.
The person taking the order would be like, sir, on the menu, it says no additions or substitutions. The menu is set. And then he gives them that look and they go, okay, no worries.
You got a chicken parma? What now? What do you mean you don't have a parma?
I love that man so much. I sometimes wish that I was his friend just so I could be around that aura. And, you know, from all reports from Melbourne players, he's quite the character, which we see from time to time. And what a fantastic character for the game of rugby league.
Well, I hope they both stay. I want one more year as Smith and Bellamy. I want him to actually announce it. I don't want this whole, like, I'm in an RE. And you know what? For the record, Cam Smith deserves the right to hold off and actually allow himself to be 100% in.
Of course he does.
On retiring or playing for 2021. There's bullshit in the media about him needing to say things because they're going to lose Harry Grant and they're going to lose Brandon Smith. It's bullshit.
I agree completely.
Like we just saw in The Last Dance. Like, let him fucking make it. Oh, let him make the decision. Let Jordan make the decision. Like, he's the greatest of all time. We've got the same situation with Cam Smith.
I don't even see 1% why anyone in the media or any fan would bring up that as an argument. I'm sorry. It's no one's business but the Melbourne Storms and Cameron Smith's. No one else's.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Any speculation about that is ridiculous. Since when do we pressure people into signing contracts?
Possible agenda because of relationships, maybe.
In rugby league and media? Come on.
Oh, no, never. What are you talking about? Get out of here. Anyway, that's That's round 19, Shnaz. We've done a pretty comprehensive wrap there. Round 20 coming up. Who your boys going to lose to this week?
Raiders. Raiders. Twice in a row.
Here we go.
Here we go. Papa Leakey, he's still angry at Paul Gallen.
Mick Ennis was clapping at the crowd. Here's some redemption. Now he's a coach. Rugby league.
It writes itself, Brixie.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So we've got some good matchups. We've got what's generally the 4X derby. Can be the SH. It's still the 4X derby. Broncos Cowboys to start the round. Rabbitohs Roosters on Friday, which is a good one. Titans Knights.
Yep.
That's a cheeky good one. If it was a top nine, this could have been a finals week one battle.
They tried to make it a top nine.
God, the Bulldogs Panthers could be anything. As you mentioned, Sharks Raiders on 5:30 Saturday. And Saturday wraps up with the West Tigers Eels, Warriors Seagulls, and Dragons Storm. Speaking of what could be anything. That could be anything. Let's hope the Storm rest all their stars for that one, as they're already locked in the second position. Yeah, so we're looking at an interesting round to finish, mate. It's going to be pretty. What you think? Let's have a look at those contentious positions. So Roosters and Para are stuck on 28. You see the Roosters knocking off the Rabbitohs to lock in third position.
I do.
Yep, and Eels knocking over the Tigers to lock in fourth position.
I would like to think so. I think so, yeah, but I wouldn't be as sure as the Roosters winning. But in a fair and just world, you think Power would be able to win that game.
Yeah, and if those two results play out, you will have a scenario where we've got Panthers Power 1v4, we've got Melbourne Roosters 2v3, and then we'll have that will mean the Raiders finish in fifth. Regardless of the result against the Sharkies, and they'll be playing again, as you mentioned, 5v8 next week. And then the only real one that we will see is, the Rabbitohs lose. It'll lock in the Knights into six, and we've got 6v7 Newcastle Bunnies with the Bunnies heading up to McDonald Jones Stadium. So, I guess there's two games are going to determine the whole outcome of the finals, mm-hmm. just by if the Roosters beat the Rabbitohs and the Eels beat the Tigers. There you go.
Yeah.
But Broncos.
Actually, I'm gonna lock in the Eels. I'm locking them in.
Lock them in. So, and we'll know who gets a spoon. We won't know who gets a spoon, but there's a chance. Broncos lose to the Cows. Broncos have got the spoon Thursday night. They can start cooking with it over the weekend.
Mm.
So yeah, interesting round 20 ahead.
Where are we at with Mad Monday? Is it a
no
thing
Mad
still?
Mondays, mate?
Not no even Mad on Mondays. on the sly.
Don't think so. That's up to the clubs to do it on the sly, really. But I think there's been a directive to say no Mad Mondays. Sorry, guys, just keep.
So, let me get this straight. I can't have a barbecue watching the grand final. Now I can't have a Mad Monday. What's this world coming to?
I know. It's
political correctness gone mad, Brooksy.
Oh, wow. This is another podcast.
What's that? NFL? I don't want to talk about NFL.
Do you want to do some NFL? Why not?
No. I despise the game of NFL.
Like the Sharkies, you've had a pretty bad week in terms of your teams. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off straight away. It's Minnesota. Wow, 28-11 loss to Indiana. Did you know your team has never won in Indiana? They're 0-12 now in Indiana against the Colts.
I think I'd heard that, yeah, but I'm glad you brought it up again.
Yeah, like that's the sort of stat you want to know once you log into your sports bet account, right? Like, if I knew that, I would have put it into my multi.
Once my alarm went off at 2:58 a.m., I would have liked to know too.
Just watched Scott Hansen in the Octagon. Supposedly, the Octobox, you'd think that eight screens were good enough, right?
Mm.
I think there was 10 games on simultaneously in that early window. So we did have a few boxes. We're going to have to make a 10. What's a 10? A Decta box.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Forward.
The advice going to, mate.
Yeah, they're actually the worst team in the NFL right now.
Oh, there you go. I'm for and against.
Just everything, like the way that they're playing, quarterback, defense, like everything is just, they're the worst team in the NFL, like after 2 weeks. And that is not where they should be because they're not that team or franchise. So I don't know how they get out of it. Excuse me. Don't know how they get out of it because their strength was their defense. And this year it's not happening. So
a couple of injuries early on, right? Like
that's but still it's, yeah. There's not enough excuses to be going that bad. So it's disappointing. Do we tank for Trevor? I don't see that happening. I don't think they're that kind of an organization.
Yeah.
But
well, your boy Kirk Cousins, 3 interceptions.
Like, hang on. Don't say my boy.
Performance don't say my bike. Don't he's say your boy, my boy. He's wearing your Guernsey.
He's not my boy. You can't say that. That's like me saying, oh, DeBellin's your boy. Jack DeBellin's your boy. You love Jack DeBellin.
Well, he technically is because he's a dragon.
No, he's not your boy.
Off the field, he's definitely not my boy.
Well, Kirk's not my boy on the field either.
Okay. Your quarterback.
Thank you.
Kirk Cousins, 3 interceptions, his worst performance as a Viking. I think you've got to tank for Trevor, surely.
I think so, especially after we signed this bloke for 3 more years.
And did you see him on the Kyle Brandt podcast about his mask situation?
The whole world saw that, Brooksy. The whole world saw that.
That was interesting.
I'll say this. He was taken a little bit out of context if you watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I did listen to the whole podcast.
It wasn't anywhere near as bad as what the headline suggested, but he probably just shouldn't be saying that stuff either.
He just came across, like, the thing is, he just come across as a very easygoing, you know, he's not against it. He just, you know, if he dies, he dies.
He's a religious guy, and that's where that line came from. If he dies, he dies. You know, he's got the Lord above. It's all cool. He's actually not a bad human at all. Like, he's a perfectly good human, just not a great quarterback.
Yeah. But, yeah, they did struggle, mate. I saw a few of the highlights. That, yeah, it wasn't too good. And when you're losing to Phil Rivers, there's definitely issues. How about you? Let's have a look at your div. Like, it's going to be hard to catch Green Bay. They were great against Detroit, 42-21.
They'll definitely have to beat them on the return match.
Yeah. Like, they've dominated the Lions. And the Lions, they're terrible. Like, they could have beaten the Chicago Bears last week. Rookie, DeAndre Swift. With that fumble in the end zone.
Oh, boy.
I don't like, when you put a pencil behind your ear and you're not actually using that pencil, I've got to question your authority. Matt Patricia, he's going to, oh no, yeah, he's going
I don't know.
With your bike.
He's not going to see the year out, surely.
Which of your coaches, your coach?
Zim just re-signed. Yeah. And he'll be moved on if they don't win
more than
an
end of season thing.
Yeah. But if they don't win more than 5 games, I'd suggest he'd be moved on. But no, Patricia's not even in the same league. Like, Zim can coach. It's just not happening, you know. Patricia can't coach.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens there. They're missing Golladay, Kenny, the wide receiver. So let's see what Stafford can do once he's back and they've got their full complement on the park. We were talking about the Sharkies injury situation. Can I just take you through the Niners' win over the Jets?
You can.
So they were already missing Kittle, who did his knee last week. They had Deebo Samuel and Richard Sherman out for this game. So what happens? Within 3 snaps, they do 2 ACLs.
Snap.
Bosa and Solomon Thomas, 2 of their most influential defenders. Then they lost Mostert, who had an 80-yard touchdown to start the game. He has a mild MCL sprain. So he might be back maybe week 4. And then you got Garoppolo, who did his ankle early on, played on, got through 2 touchdowns, and then came off at half time. So they are a mess in terms of injuries. They've got a tough division. We've seen Arizona step up well. They're 2-0. My boys, Seattle, they're 2-0. Is this the year San Fran sort of just take? And Well, the Rams are 2-0. Oh no, sorry, they're 1-1, but they're looking all right. They're 2-0. The Rams are 2-0.
Yeah.
So is this a season where they might just go, oh, it's going to be hard keeping up with the other three teams in this div? Like, do we just maybe just cruise through this season, or do they try and make it the most competitive division in the NFL?
Well, our loyal listener BDC is hoping they're going to make it competitive, and I think they will. I think that last year showed what a good organization they can be, and they'll keep fighting.
Yeah, I like it. I like how this the NFC West is playing out, and as a Seahawks fan, it's going to be exciting. I don't know if you watched it, Sunday Night Footy.
I watched it.
The Seahawks. I thought it was just reminiscent of the Super Bowl again, where we did an interesting play, just trying to get 1 yard. That's how Carroll operates. I'll take it. There was a fourth and five last week where we bombed it to DK Metcalf for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So you take the good with the bad. Speaking of DK Metcalf, Shaz, second unit receiver, he's an absolute beast. He had Gilmore on him, the reigning defensive player of the year, and he was just, he'd running some amazing routes, made some big catches. Yeah, I think we've got a stud in DK Metcalf. Yeah.
What was your franchise like before your coach came along? Remind me.
We weren't too bad. We had Holmgren was, we got him from Green Bay. We had Matt Hasselbeck, Sean Alexander. We made a Super Bowl in 05 against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
There was a bit of mediocrity, but it was generally pretty good. We've had some really good squads, I guess, in the early 2000s, but particularly Sean Alexander. He was a rushing leader a couple of times. So yeah, like, I'm quite happy with the team that we've got now. Jamal Adams' trade was probably pretty good. It is good, but we'll probably look back and say that it was good, even though we gave up a couple of firsts for him. But yeah, you look at the Cardinals too, Schnaz, who made an amazing trade in getting DeAndre Hopkins. I really don't know what the Texans were thinking there. You've got Watson, a really good quarterback. You want to give him one of the best receivers in the league to throw to, but no, you're gonna get Duke Johnson from the Cardinals. David Johnson from the Cards in exchange. It must have been a money thing. I don't know. It just, you see him ripping it up. Kyler Murray's now taking his game.
Fantastic.
He looks really good too. Who else has stood out for you in week two of the NFL?
Oh boy!
What about the Dallas Atlanta game?
That was crazy.
As a Falcons fan. Oh
yeah.
Again, like I was going through some PTSD from the Super Bowl when we turned the ball, or we had to punt on that third and one. But imagine the Atlanta Falcons fans after seeing that.
They've got a real rep now, haven't they, Atlanta?
Whew. And not like, you know, the probability of the Pats winning that Super Bowl was quite low at stages of that game. Mate. But here's a stat for you that I found on the internet.
Yeah.
So the Falcons became the first team since 1933 to lose despite scoring 39-plus points. The teams that had scored 39-plus points prior to that game were 440-0.
What?
I know. How crazy is that?
That's amazing.
You know, there's that like level where it's like when you get to this many points, you know, it's all over.
Yeah.
Well, they have broken that record. It'll now be probably 40 points is the score.
Yeah.
The desired score to know that you definitely won a game.
Wow.
But yeah, the helicopter kick and Greg the Leg punting the game-winning field goal. Mate, that was interesting. It seemed like the Falcons players didn't know the rules on the onside kick.
I'll tell you who's impressed me a little bit this year where I wasn't sure they would is the Chargers.
The Los Angeles Chargers look good against the Chiefs. That was the other game that I watched pretty much from head to toe.
Young QB.
I know, he came in late because Tyrod Taylor had some chest pains, had to go to hospital.
Great. It was great performance, and I would suggest he'll be starting regularly very soon.
Yeah, it sounds like Lynn's gone. Taylor will be back week three, but yeah, it's promising to know
Oh.
they invested a first round draft pick on him,
Yeah.
and he looked the goods against the reigning Super Bowl champions. He looked real comfortable, didn't he? And
He did, yeah.
Romo was sort of losing his shit
He
in
loved it.
commentary.
He
He's
loved it,
going, "Oh
Romo.
boy, this is a great day, bro."
I think I don't I know that Romo gets a lot of praise for his commentary analysis, but I don't think it's enough. I think that Tony Romo is the best thing to happen in the world for a long time. Like, he's just fantastic. He makes you want to watch the game. He makes you want to learn about the game, and his delivery is really fantastic. It's not just what he knows, it's the way he says it. Because if he can't deliver it succinctly, it's only half the story. But he does it so well, perfect timing. Love Tony Romo. Love him.
And he adds the element of emotion to the
Yep.
call as well. He's not just dry with the analysis and which is great. Like, how good was in the second half? You saw him just when Mahomes had the ball. He's like, "Yeah, he's got these options. He's got Kelce here. He's got Hill here." Like, he's showing the routes like on the screen,
Yeah.
like so succinctly. And then you see them running into those like routes. It's like
There's something about
that's
this sport in particular
the
that
next level.
the media slash commentary styles is so positive.
Yeah.
Even a guy like Chris Collinsworth, who I really like and admire,
I don't know, Al.
like he's so dry, but
He's,
how many times the other day did he say, like, "I just love watching football"? He said it like three or
yeah.
four times in commentary. I love watching football. It's like, that's fantastic to hear. Like, I love watching football too, and I know it's their job to spruce up and make you want to watch the game right till the end.
Yeah.
Our NRL guys on Fox do it really. They do a great job. There's a 16-point difference with 3 minutes to go, and they're telling you to keep watching because anything can happen, and it's true. But on
But
the NFL
yeah.
coverage, it's just there's something really earnest about it. Like, it's so believable.
They use, see, this is the thing. They have a lot more stoppages to break down the game, and
Yeah.
it's not necessarily an advantage, I'll tell you that much. What the
Yeah.
best thing about rugby league is that it's just, apart from Canberra Warriors this week where it went over 2 hours, but it is like it 40, 45 minutes just like bang, half time. Oh, go get a beer. Remember watching, or a cup of tea. Remember watching those, like even Origin. Like, it's
Yeah.
just like, damn, that went quick. We're already halfway through the
Yeah.
game. And it's something that you look forward to, throughout the week, throughout the year. But he delivers it in a way, because these games go for 3, 4 hours.
Yeah.
The Super Bowls are even longer. But like, they just deliver it in a way that makes it entertaining. And like you said with Romo, it is the love of the sport that allows him to come across as genuine, that this is a good game to watch. And he's like, he didn't need any of that help with that game. It was a cracking game, LA, Kansas City. But yeah, when you're investing that time, and particularly for us, when we're waking up early, to watch these games, you feel like you've justified the reason for waking up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock or 3 a.m. or whatever when you're watching a Tony Romo game,
Yeah.
because it is engaging, it's entertaining. He not only gives you the analysis, he gives you the emotion, and that's what you want out of, watching 3, 3.5 hours of NFL football.
Now, speaking of emotion, Brooksy,
Yeah.
you expressed emotion and I lapped it up because you have discovered, like most of the world, a TV show called Cobra Kai.
Yes. Oh, I smashed it out in about 2 weeks, Shanaz. I know there'd been numerous people telling me to watch it, and I put it on the back burner for so long. But goddamn, it's a great TV show.
Yeah, how
And
good.
I know they sort of aimed it at the, I guess, the generation that were younger when they watched Karate Kid.
Yes.
And see, I got a disclaimer here, mate.
Here we go.
I have not watched any of the three Karate what? Kid movies. I know what? It's crazy. I know. It's rude. It's obnoxious.
And you still really enjoyed. Behavior. You still really enjoyed the,
yeah.
the show.
Yeah, I like going in. Like, you sort of know the scenario, situation.
Yeah,
but yeah, the little flashbacks really help. It does. Someone that hadn't watched it, but yeah,
imagine really how much you'd love it if you'd already seen the movies.
Yeah, or I might not have enjoyed it. Who knows?
No, you would have.
I know a lot of people that have seen.
You only need to watch the first two. Three's okay, but you need to watch like the first two are amazing.
People like Home Alone, right?
Well. But yeah, fantastic show. If you haven't watched it, I know a lot of our listeners have watched it, but if you haven't, the story is it was made for YouTube Premium. I think in 2018 it went to air, the first two seasons, and they've now done a deal with Netflix where season three will be out, I think, in January. So they bought the first two seasons, and now it's getting a really big audience. It's all over, like it's the most watched kind of show on Netflix at the moment. And people are just loving it. So it's got a second lease of life, which is great. Season three coming out next year. I love the storytelling in it. I love the way they've done it. I know that people sort of say, oh, it's a comedy, it's a bit funny. But I look at it from a deeper sense, and I just think the actual storytelling is so – it's so well done and so – it keeps the fans of the movie series very much in mind. But it's flipped it because basically the short story is Johnny was the bad guy. Now he's not so bad. And Ralph Macchio was the dreamboat. And now, you know, he's a grown up with grown up problems. And it just makes you look at the movies in a different way. It's genius is what I would say.
Yeah, I think Johnny Lawrence for me steals the show. He's got
brilliant.
Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, you've got he's the sort of degenerate. But still, like, he's got the cool one-liners and, you're just going for him. You want him to find a girl, clean up his act, build the dojo, be successful, and not go down the path of the old Cobra Kai.
Now, have you finished season two?
Yes, I have. Yeah,
okay, cool.
Yeah, knocked it out.
It's an easy watch.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just when I got through it, I was just like, damn it, I wish there was another series, like another season, sorry.
Yeah.
It's
3 or 4 months away, so
it's not too far away, which is great.
Now, I started watching last night on the Netflix the four-part documentary short series on the Challenger space shuttle mission. And I thoroughly recommend that. I've watched two episodes already. They're short episodes. They're 45 minutes each. Like, I have a slight interest in the subject, I guess, but just fascinating the footage that they show from back in the day, which was like the mid-80s, plus going back. Really well-told story and, you know, quite a sad ending, obviously, but... definitely recommend it.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Well, I'm sorry. The ship.
I know, it's a true story. Yeah,
it is, yeah. That's very, true. Very, very true.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, definitely recommend it.
Yeah, see, I've never really got, like, you know, I respect astronauts and the space program. I never really got into space travel and Apollo 13, the Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah.
That was pretty good, but yeah, I look. I'm not going to rule it out.
Well, because I've
check it out.
I've got a short number of years on you. I probably remember the event more than you do.
What was it, 1986?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I was 4, Schnaz. You were 38.
So I remember it slightly better. But it's a fascinating story anyway. But what are you watching elsewhere, Brooksy?
I just watched The Social Dilemma last night.
Did you?
I thought I'd put my phone down for an hour and a half and and It was great insight from people that have worked in the industry.
Yeah.
Whether it be the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the LinkedIn's, the Pinterest's.
All your like favorite sites.
That, yeah, I love them. Anything with the before it. The YouTube. So, like, and the strategies behind what they're doing at the moment. And, and what, like, there was a quote in there that I loved. It was like, there's two industries that use the word users. It's the illegal drug industry and social media. And it opens your eyes to a lot of things of how we do take in social media and how those companies utilize what we do and how we use social media. And I think it's something everyone should really have a look at. I think there's and they do it in a really good way. It's sort of like a background story and a documentary at the same time. So it's sort of like a family. It follows a family through the day-to-day usage of social media, whether it's the father, the mother, the daughter, the son, the sort of stuff that you would come across, I guess, in a family situation with regards to social media. And then you've got all these people that have left jobs, left the industry, either working, like I said, worked at Google, worked at these other social media platforms, and giving their insight as to what they were seeing behind the scenes. So it is great. It's an hour and a half. I recommend people watching it and taking stuff from it. Like, you know, I know that I ticked a few boxes when I was talking about a few things on the documentary, but it's up to you. It's up to you to decide what you want to use it for and how much you want to use it, what sort of platforms you want to use. And at the end of the day, that's it. And you've got to come to the realization that what you're doing on it is being used. It's like that. And you can tell, how many times have you been on social media, Shnaz? And you might have had a conversation about something.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the first ad that pops up comes up.
It literally happened the other day. It wasn't me. It was someone else. I can't remember where I was. It might have been at work, actually. And we were talking about something. And then someone went, hey, look at my phone. It was within about 4 minutes. And there was an ad for what we were talking about. And it just proves it, man. It proves it.
Yeah, I had a funny one where I was overseas, and I got an ad for, I was on Instagram or the Twitter or whatever. I got an ad for Samson on it,
right?
And I was like, was I doing Dumb and Dumber quotes? I can't remember. And then
sounds like you.
My phone, but yeah, I know. That's why I asked myself. But it was like, no, I must have known that I was away, like, you know, in another country or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's I thought it was weird. Like,
it's definitely happening. Definitely.
You shop, you go overseas, you shop, you buy stuff. Maybe you need a new bag. Bang. But there is a funny side scene throughout the documentary where it's this guy and there's three of him, and it's sort of like the behind the scenes at one of the social media sites.
Right.
And how they're like tailoring this kid's like social media feed by like, hey, he hasn't logged on for a while and he's looking at this girl's photos and let's send him an update. Like the big thing out of it was that you see it's like turn your notifications off.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's the thing. But I use Twitter for notifications. For instance, I follow Adrian Wojnarowski, who's like the guy when it comes to NBA news, or Adam Schefter for NFL, or NRL physio for NRL injuries.
When you say notifications, are you talking about your phone buzzes or just when you log into it, you can see the notifications?
Yeah, my it'll bring up like that this person's tweeted and this is what they've tweeted.
Turn that off, Brooksy. Turn it off.
No. I've got that on because it's news, right? Like I know Wojnarowski won't just tweet stuff like, oh, how good's the weather?
I had milk with my cereal.
Zyrtec, which is what I normally do. Or, you know, he tweets news. Schefter tweets news. NRL physio tweets the injury information. Like that's what I'm not. I don't have the Kardashians or Kanye as my updates. I've got news. So that's where like I turn that stuff on. But yeah, it's funny how you see like Domino's hits you up. You get one pizza delivered after one hangover, and then they start hitting you up, three pizzas for $34. Come on, do it. You know you want it. How good they'll scorch you.
Like, well, I mean, even a smaller company like Manoush, who I got, I ordered some food through them, online, then went to pick it up, and then I get bombarded with emails about Manoush. I don't want your emails. Come on,
that's exactly
just one company. I'm not picking on them. That's one company. So
no.
And I understand from their point of view what they're trying to do. I get that. That's business. I get it, but. I'm unticking that subscribe button, which I didn't even tick. One of the great things in life to do is unsubscribe, man. Oh,
unsubscribe.
What a great feeling. What a great feeling.
Emails are the worst. Anyway, but yeah, I forgot to mention when we were in our NFL chat, Shane.
Yeah.
It's a unique time of year. We've got some NBA playoffs with the NFL, and I don't know if you've been watching, but the bubble, it's great. They've done well. They're like the NRL at the end of their season, coming to the end of their season.
Yep.
Western Conference Finals, it's looking like the Lakers might get in. They're 2-0 up. Anthony Davis nailed a massive three-pointer to get them
The win.
Yeah. Like LeBron, in light of the whole Kobe situation this year, it looks like it's going to play out that they might make the finals. However, the Denver Nuggets, who are in, I'm not too sure if you know their scenario. They were down 3-1 in both of their series and won the last three games to move on to the next round. So they did that to Utah and the LA Clippers.
That's exciting.
Who were touted as being potential conference finalists. And then you've got on the other side, Boston and Miami. So
what you're telling me is you're not leaving your lounge.
No. Have you watched any NBA?
I've watched a tiny little bit.
You see a bit of highlights and stuff here and there.
Yeah, I watched. I think the first week of games because it was very exciting when it came back, and then I think everything just sort of clicked into gear with life and everything else. And I don't have the time to dedicate to it, but I'm certainly following what's going on. I have an interest in it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that it'll be interesting if it's like LeBron v Miami.
Yeah.
Having seen them rebuild, they've got a really good squad, Shnaz, of just solid players, and their defense is really good to watch. So it could be the LeBron who's moved on from Miami back to Cleveland, over to LA, and then now Miami, who have rebuilt since the post-LeBron era, or have got potentially a Lakers-Celtics final again.
Classic.
Which could be cool. Yeah, classic is exactly the word he is. And other sporting news I wanted to mention, Shnaz, because we're both fans of this team. Liverpool,
two wins,
woo-hoo, from two starts, 2-0. Sadio Mane, double against the dirty Chelsea's. Huh. Did you see any of that season opener against Leeds United, 4-3?
I did.
Some cracking goals. I think Salah got a hat-trick there. They're looking good, mate. Do you reckon they can go back-to-back? I like the squad.
I think they can. I think they can. Yeah. I think their manager is absolutely terrific, and
he's the best. Is he the best manager in world sport?
Bellamy.
You've made a good case for Bellamy today.
Bellamy's very good. I think that Klopp's probably got more in his arsenal as far as tricks
and that kind of
vibe. But I mean, you know, Bellamy's the best in the NRL, but. I think they can go back to back as long as their injuries are minimal. Why not? Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it. They signed a couple of players this week before the transfer deadline.
It'd be good for the fans over there to celebrate a premiership in real life, in real time. So hopefully they can do it, and hopefully by then the fans are allowed back in, because that was the only, 1% bummer, is that the fans couldn't really enjoy it in the moment with the team.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it doesn't sound like it's getting any better over there.
No, it doesn't.
With Corona, the potential second wave coming through. So hopefully they can get through as much of the season as possible, complete the season. The numbers don't get as bad. And, we can maybe see the Reds go back to back.
All right, Brooksy, I've got to fly, my man. I hope you have
good chat.
Good rest of the week. I hope that all your sporting teams do things that you want them to do. I hope that you eat glorious food because you're a big food. You're a foodie, basically. And
I cooked an amazing beef curry last night, Schnaz. You should have come over for it.
I wish I would have. I wish nothing but the best for you, Brooksy. What song is that?
You.
Adele. I wish nothing but the best for you.
Ooh, yeah. I thought it sounded like I thought you meant my "Wish You Were Here" Incubus.
You're a big Incubus fan, aren't you?
It used to be, yeah.
You love Incubus.
Love that Morning View album. It was very good. It had a bit of everything. Wish You Were Here. Are You In? That was a good track. Yeah, anyway.
I was going to say to you.
Still banging them out.
I was going to say to you, The Killers, underrated band.
Yeah, Mr. Bright. I actually met.
Here we go.
Yeah, I met the lead singer in Vancouver. That was when I was working in the washroom.
Oh, the washroom. Yeah.
Yeah, my first shift was the Killers after party. And
really?
I met Brandon Flowers in the toilet.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he was. He was really nice. He was a bit shy.
Did you guys party at all? Or?
Nah, I just had a chat. I didn't realize who it was until I did like the full, "Hey mate, how are you?"
He's a short, like, yeah, shorty, man. Right?
Yeah, short. Yeah, real short. And he's like, "Hey man, how are you?" And then I was doing my thing, you know, giving out cologne, wiping the bench, getting chips, banging on the Aussie accent a little harder than normal.
That Mr. Brightside is just fantastic.
Yeah. And then he was at the sink, and he was sort of in awkward, and I just like whipped the towel around my back and threw it to him, sort of thing. And then I was like, "Oh shit, it's the fucking lead singer of the Killers." And I was like, "Oh, I had the gig go, man." And he was like, "Yeah, it was awesome." And then we started having a laugh, and he didn't tip me and walked out.
Yeah,
and
that sounds right. Hey, man, he's a musician. He's got money.
You can't expect, yeah.
All those royalties come like years later, Brooks, in all seriousness.
Yeah,
but he
doesn't carry cash around. He's his own after party.
He's per diems, you know. His per diems already been spent, probably.
Seize the day or whatever it means. anyway.
Anyway, yeah, underrated band.
Yeah, I love them.
All right, Brooksy.
All right, mate.
I will be out of here, and you'll be out of here, and let's do this again real soon, huh?
Sounds good.
All right, I'll see you later.
Marcus, bye for now, Schnaz.